My observation so far, less than 24 hours after Steph Curry said this.
All the Twitter fingers who's got deals that we need to make can kind of just shut up a little bit and let us figure this thing out. Like, we know we can be competitive. We showed, you know, that toughness tonight. Obviously, every team is trying to find ways to get better. And for us, we've been great for a very long time. This is just a unique year where we have to be able to stay relevant and give ourselves a chance and just have some life in a playoff series. And we have a whole lot of confidence that we can, you know, beat anybody. So, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. Well, here's my quick observation. People have not put down their Twitter fingers.
No. I mean, just because Steph says we need to shut up a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, with all due respect to the chef, you don't get to tell us or me what to do with my Twitter fingers.
Sure he does.
Twitter finger's going to stay active.
Same way we tell them what to do. Come on, Andrew, be more aggressive.
Yeah.
This is life. I have no problem with that whatsoever. And yes, I'm aware it does not mean that ESPN's trade machine will not be visited today.
Oh, no, they shut it down. It's no longer available because Steph said put down your Twitter fingers.
I get it. I guess this is funny. I mean, the conversation has gotten a little bit intricate, which I'm fine with because I feel like everyone's opinions have some sort of overlap. Like, Grandy, you can kick and scream about it. I don't disagree with you across the board at all.
Yeah.
I don't. But I guess my thought is I don't want it to be that black and white. I don't want it to be, admit you suck, make a deal. What if there's no deal to be made? I do think this, and I mean this now across the board. GMs too often get ripped for, quote, not making a deal. You don't know what deal was offered.
Trades are hard.
We do this with the Giants every July. Stupid, you didn't trade Mad Bum. I have no clue what they offered. I don't know if anybody offered anything. You dummy, you didn't trade Blake Snell. I don't know what was offered. It seems likely that something was, but I have no idea. So I'm not going to, and this is, in my opinion, what they meant at the beginning of the week. We're not here to do something irresponsible. So we're not going to just make a deal because we're supposed to make a deal. And because Brian Windhorst has been talking about it and Shams has been talking about it every day for the last 3 months. So I guess we're supposed to make a deal. No, it has to be a good deal.
Right.
That's all they were saying. It does not mean white flag or we're not making a deal. I didn't take it that way, at least.
I didn't either. And again, I said it yesterday that I thought it was a yellow flag. It's not a green flag, which is kind of where Brooklyn is. Right now, Brooklyn is wide open, which I know you love. Shout out Creed. Brooklyn is open for business, I believe, and they're clearly in sell mode. And Washington is probably the same. And Chicago, they're begging somebody to trade for Zach LaVine. Nobody wants to take on the contract. So the Warriors are not in a red flag spot. They're not in a white flag spot where they're giving up. They're in a yellow flag, which is we'd like to make a deal that makes us better.
Yes.
But we don't want to make a deal that makes us worse now and or into the future. So you've got 20 days. You can wait and see. You're 20-20, which is kind of where you don't want to be. You don't want to be in the middle. But you could win 8 of 10 and be a 6 seed. You could lose 8 of 10 and be the 12 seed. We just don't know where they're going to be. So right now, 3 weeks out from the trade deadline, I like them being in a yellow flag, cautious position because you don't know what trade is out there, to your point, and you also don't know what assets you have. Jonathan Kuminga, now out of a walking boot, according to Anthony Slater, looks like he'll be reevaluated in about a week. That would be 3 weeks from the injury, and which was what they said, yep, the original timeline. So in a week, we should be able to get an idea of whether or not he'll be able to even play before the deadline.
See, first of all, I love the way you broke that down. Second of all, this just came in our text line. I wonder, do you agree with this? Do you agree with this?
I don't know yet.
I know. I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
This, and I'll tell you right off the bat, I don't. This is the kind of thinking that personally I don't understand. Not saying it's wrong, I just don't get it. 707 texts in. Not doing a deal is a white flag. Period. That kind of definitive reaction, I just can't get with. I can't do that. Like, you're basically telling them you have to make a deal, even if there isn't a good one out there, even if there isn't a responsible one out there. So you would rather the Warriors send out Kuminga and Wiggins to get Jimmy Butler, cower underneath his demands, give him massive money going into the future as he, Steph, and Draymond all go into their late 30s. That somehow is translated in your mind to mean going for it. It translates into my mind as going, dude, you are like mentally disabled right now. Why would you do that? That makes no sense. And that's what Steph, in my opinion, is saying. You're like, we got to stop this trigger reaction of like, must make deal, must save the queen.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's got to be smart. It has to be the right thing.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily agree with the notion of no trade is the white flag, because you are going to get Kuminga back, and if you can get your entire team as you thought you were going to be comprised at the start of the year, with the exception of Schroeder in for Melton, and if we can say that that is at least somewhat of a lateral move, well, then you're back to the team that started 12-3, and that's kind of, I think, what Steph is getting at. Like, let us all get back healthy and whole. Let us figure it out with a new player in Dennis. And, you know, we're not going to have a 12-man rotation. Once Pods is back and everybody's back healthy, let us then figure out if we can be the same team we were when we were 12-3. They don't believe that they're the team that was 7-17 over a 24-game stretch. So let them figure it out. At the same time, Mike Dunleavy, I'm sure, is working the phones.
Yes.
He's not thinking, well, we beat Minnesota, so I'm going to white flag it. We're not good.
I'm not anti-deal. I've been sitting here for 4 weeks saying that I'd love to see Vucevic on this team. Every time you've brought up Cam Johnson, I'm interested. I'd like to know what it takes to get him. I'm not anti-deal. I'm anti-bad deal.
Yeah.
And that's all I heard them say this week. That's all I heard the Warriors say this week. They are anti-bad deal.
Well, every team should be anti-bad deal. Although, if you're a team like Miami, for example, and you just really, really want Jimmy Butler off your team, and you suspended him for 7 games because you were so mad at the way he's acting, you might accept a lesser deal. You probably won't accept a bad deal because you're Pat Riley and you don't do that, but you might end up taking a worse deal than you'd like. Based on your situation.
You might. However, there's already rules in place that make that one, to me, a non-starter for the Warriors, which is Jimmy's money.
Yeah.
Jimmy's money and the Warriors' situation financially, to me, makes it a complete non-starter.
It's tough.
Because it's Wiggins and a bunch more. And I'm just like, that doesn't make you any better.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you any better now, and it makes you way worse into the future. So that's a great definition. That's a bad deal.
I just did Wiggins, Schroeder, and GP2, and you're still about $300,000 short of what you need to come up with, and they're going to want to pick, too.
Yeah, and you're a worse team.
Right.
You are a worse basketball team.
Yeah, so you lose your best wing defender, you lose probably your best on-ball defender, and you lose your glue guy. And you get a Jimmy Butler for 2 months, maybe more. And if it's more, he's going to want $50 million a year, or he's going to opt in.
Yeah.
You
just can't force it.
Yeah, and I can't trade Gee anymore, unfortunately, because he's actually playing good.
I like
now.
Him now, huh?
Gee's been my throw-in.
He was the salary matcher. Yeah,
it works if you throw Gee in, but
until this week, that's what was on the back of his jersey when he walked out on the court. Yeah. This is a salary matcher. But now you're like, oh, hold on a second. You play a little bit.
So the Hollinger analysis of that, when I throw Gee in, it's successful, but the Warriors turn out to be -6 in the win column.
Yeah, no thanks. No thanks. And then what are they next year when they've got to pay Jimmy $100 million or whatever the hell he
starting
wants.
Starting at center, Quentin Post.
Yeah, no thanks. Let's go to D in Walnut Creek. We're taking your calls throughout the afternoon. Bob Fitzgerald joins us in 15 minutes. Hey, D, what's going on?
Hey, guys, how's it going? I used to like it when you used to ask, hey, what are you doing now? And then I'd tell you what I was cooking in my kitchen.
What are you doing, D?
I'm sitting here waiting for you guys. Hey, you know, Tom Brady took a pay cut to go to Tampa because he wanted to win. Why can't Steph do the same thing if he really is serious about winning another championship. I'll tell you why. The league is all about contracts and money. And nobody's going to take a pay cut just because they want to win a championship.
Well, D, what do you mean by define that for us? Take a pay cut? Because by the way, I don't know what you mean by Tom Brady took a pay cut. He signed as a free agent.
He took less than what he could have gotten. Well, yes.
I don't even know what he could have gotten. There was no max salary in the NFL.
He can restructure.
Steph actually cannot restructure. Yeah, it's against the collective bargaining. Once you sign it, that's your deal. You can, like in football, you can restructure. In the association, you are not allowed to do that. So Steph is going to get paid what Steph signed up to get paid.
I mean, the only thing that, like, 2 years from now, and now he just signed an extension, but 2 years from now, I mean, he's allowed to go say, just pay me 30.
Pay me the vet min.
He could do that. I think the players' union and stars around the league might take issue with that.
Well, it'll be 39 going on 40.
Yeah,
so.
but like the bottom line is there's no way, there's almost no way to pay Steph what he's worth. You heard Nick was in here yesterday talking about globally how many people show up to watch him warm up.
Yep.
Like, I understand where you're coming from, D. It'd be wonderful if everybody was just like, don't pay me. I've made enough. But that's not life. That's not the structure. And I would never ask someone to do that. Whatever Steph makes, it's not enough. Period. He's the entire organization right now. As far as branding, as far as watchability, as far as viewership, excitement, all of that stuff. And so he deserves to be paid for that, exactly what he's worth. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. You know, the Brady thing he brought up, again, like, how old was he when he went to Tampa as a free agent? Was he 40 yet?
Yeah, had to be.
All right, so there's a reason why he wasn't commanding a top salary. He didn't take a pay cut. That's what the market offered him in that moment. Maybe a better way to say it is what he did throughout his career as
a
Patriot.
In New England, yeah. And that might have been what he was referring to.
But you can't do that in the NBA.
Right, so. And when you're Tom Brady and you're the second highest earner in your own household with Gisele Bündchen making more money than you, it's a little bit easier to settle for $15 million.
I wonder if that ever crosses people's minds. I know that we talk about that.
I reference it just because her net worth is greater than his net worth.
Yeah, but for all we knew, they were arguing for 5 years before they split.
Could be.
I don't.
And you know now that she is with child.
Yes.
She's about to run it back.
Yes.
So congrats to the Bündchens everywhere.
Who's the trainer,
the yoga guy. I believe her personal trainer.
I don't know who the yoga guy is. I don't follow the whole, like...
Yeah, it's...
I know Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. That's right. About as far as I go on celebrity couples.
When they broke up, she immediately was purportedly commingling with said fitness instructor.
Oh, good for her.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pilates or yoga.
Sure. All of that stuff. You know. Yeah, be healthy.
Sure.
Abundant life.
Stretch it out.
Yeah, like, whatever.
You. Coming
know.
Up.
Yeah, do your thing. Anyway.
Anyhow.
Yeah, like... Can't do it in the NBA. Everything's guaranteed. But also, as far as assessing teams in general, like, we can take that conversation just for a minute over to Brock Purdy. Stop. Stop asking him to take less than he's worth because he has rosy cheeks. Stop it. Stop it.
But Steph's a really good guy, Mark. And he's made...
Stop it. You don't do that in life. You shouldn't do that in life. They shouldn't do that in life. You should get every single dollar that you can.
After this year, his career earnings will be $413 million, and he's got another $120 to go.
Major, and that's just on the court.
Correct.
What's Under Armour paying him?
A lot. I don't know about
how many dollars
that
you
much,
got.
But
a lot.
Yeah. He's doing all right. So, Steph, go ahead and restructure. I'll tell you what, Steph, take the remaining 122 on your contract and rip it up and play for the vet, man. Do it for the fellas. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
If he even was allowed to, right?
I'm out.
The interesting one will be after he makes 62.6 in his last year when he is 39, if he does want to continue, what would that look like? I don't know if he gets a raise, I mean, you're right. He's worth every penny in what he brings to the arena.
2 more years after this one already locked, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And the one, the extension that he just signed.
62.6, right? Yep.
So good. It's so good.
You can get it.
Yeah.
Good if you can get it.
It's kind of rude of us when we do that and then we break it down per game. Because 62, you're getting damn close. If not, you're right around 750K per game.
Exactly.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Whether or not he plays.
Right. And he's not going to play for all of them.
Well, he's played in 32 of 40 this year.
He's kind of tracking toward a million per game, but that just totally flicks off what that guy does every day to be ready for these basketball games, which I'm pretty sure, even though I've never been a professional athlete, is pretty flipping intense.
I can imagine.
Pretty intense.
So this year he makes about 700 grand a game. It's a little bit less, but let's just call it 700K.
Okay.
And he's missed 8 games. So that is $5.6 million for not playing.
For not playing.
Right.
Well, Klay Thompson got a whole max deal to not play the whole year.
Yeah, it turned out to be longer, but you're right. But again, I would never begrudge.
But I mean, they're all worth it. Look, what, yes. I mean, they're completely worth it. What has happened to the worth of the Warriors since he arrived?
Right. And you mentioned it, like Steph comes out an hour and a half before a game on the road and you've got people videotaping him dribbling the basketball and shooting left-handed layups.
Yeah. This is kind of a fun, I think it's a fun mental exercise. You ever watch people in a situation like that? We go to a lot of Warrior games. You watch him come out on the court. Just imagine for a second being him. Okay, arena's filling up. Everybody's there. Everybody's spending more money than they got. Popcorn's expensive. Beer's expensive. We're all and we're all there to see him in an unscripted performance where trained millionaire professionals are there to stop him. That sounds so nauseatingly scary. Like the tension headache that must accompany being that kind of a performer, I can't even imagine it. Never, never ask him to take $1 less.
Yeah.
Ever. Ever. We're there to see him.
Right. And think about it in terms of Taylor Swift when she goes on stage.
Oh my God.
And yes, there's pressure because, you know, it takes a certain amount of physicality to dance and hit the notes and perform, but she's not being guarded.
Totally scripted.
Okay, it's totally scripted.
Totally scripted.
Occasionally fans will try to burst up on stage and she's got a cadre of security who are going to try to defend her. But, you know, she goes through her 18 songs and her 4 encores and we're on to the next act. And, you know, she's got everybody looking out for her and it's scripted and there's no defense.
I love
this dude is 6'2", running around with seriously, 3 grown men hounding him physically and emotionally trying to stop him.
Lovely Christy, I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this. Years ago, she would tend a bar, and she did some stuff around the where the 49ers play. And I guess there were certain 49er players, I won't name them because alcohol involved. But anyway, there were certain 49ers that would come into the bar. And they would get to talking about their jobs. And, you know, they would always be like, oh, you do such a good job. You know, we love you, whatever. But And she'd be like, my job is easy. There's nobody here trying to stop me. That's what I admire about your jobs. Imagine, I don't care what you do in life, but imagine when you got to work, there are trained millionaires there trying to tackle you or stop you or block your shot or whatever. It's all unscripted. And we're all there spending hundreds, in some case, thousands of dollars. We're there to watch him do it. Like,
not only
watch
him do it, but you better have a good game.
Because
I paid a lot of money. I'm in Indiana, and I just dropped $300 a ticket to come and watch, the Pacers, whatever. I came to watch you make 7 threes, Steph. You better be on your game, or I'm going to be mad.
It's funny. It's just a funny way to think about it. That's all.
Think about our job. Like, we have people trying to stop us, but it's just one click away and it's whoop.
They text us. They're like, you suck at this.
Okay.
That's good. Okay. Yeah. Let's go to Skills in Vallejo. Hi, Skills. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, Willard. Hello, Willard and Dibs.
Hello.
The reason why I'm calling, let me just say, I like the Warriors winning games as much as anybody. I was going nuts last night. when Steph was when Steph hit his late three pointer, when Wiggins was getting all the rebounds, the free, I was going crazy. I love the Warriors winning as much as anybody. And that being said, I'm not saying they should start losing games. I'm not saying they should give up on trying to continue to win. But I am saying that all this talk about maximizing Steph, getting him one more championship. Why? I mean, we don't have – it's not the end of the world if Steph doesn't get his fill. It's not going to change his legacy. He's still going to go into the Hall of Fame. He's still going to have number 30 retired. He's still going to be gazillionaire time and time over again. It's not going to change anything. What will change, though, if we go all in, and it turns out we go all in for the wrong guy, or who ends up being the wrong guy, somebody like – and you guys throwing around the name Zion Williamson earlier. And Zion Williamson can be counted on to come into the Chase Center and score a few points, score a few baskets, throw his weight around for about a week or two, and he's going to be out for 6 weeks. And then what? We've already mortgaged. This is going to cost, what, draft pick after draft pick after draft pick, plus the few assets we have now to get in a superstar.
Yeah.
Right now, the Milwaukee Bucks want to say, hey, you know, we really like that guy Payton, or we really like that guy Moody. We're going to give you, if we give you Giannis, will you give us Moody and Payton? Now, if they want to do that, I'm not going to stop it. I'm not going to argue with that. That's not likely, though. But if Milwaukee Bucks or whatever the team superstar, it's going to cost us 8 draft picks over the next 6 years, and by the time 2028 rolls around, we got Steph Curry retired, and our best player is somebody like, I don't know, Kira Lewis, off the, you know, the former Pelican, or somebody like the big guy that they just traded away, Hartenstein, or somebody like that, and that's our best player who we're building around. I don't want that. If that's how it's going to happen to be,
Skills, I totally get it. I think what your point is, and thank you, is if you're going to do something like this. And it's going to be really like an over-the-top big deal. You want to be as sure as you can be. You never can be sure, but you want to minimize the risk on something like that. The one area where I do disagree with you, though, is where you're like chasing winning for Steph. What's the point? His legacy is firm, and he's got all the money. Kind of like, why? Why are we chasing that? Well, because that's what we do. That's sports. Like Steph Curry, if he felt the way that Skills just sort of categorized it, then he would retire. But he doesn't want to retire yet.
Right.
He wants to keep playing.
Of course, but you can chase it without making a big deal, and that's kind of what he was saying last night.
He's responsibly
saying, ease up on the Twitter fingers, shut up and let us work this out, and see if what they have is close enough to where you can make a small move, and you don't have to chase it by making a giant move.